من علمهم حكما.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Ulama Profile. This Thursday evening, the 10th of March, with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. In the next hour, you will be with myself and Brother Muhammad Hanif Tikli, and we're discussing, we're profiling Maulana Faisal Tikli, rahmatullahi alayh. Maulana passed away not very, very long ago, and Maulana has been one of the great leaders of our area. We speak about Maulana, inshallah. It's an open line. You can give me a call or you can WhatsApp. The WhatsApp number is 071-878-9748. The WhatsApp number is 071-878-9748. Or alternatively, you could give us a call if you had any interaction with Maulana. The number is 011-854-1548. Brother Muhammad Hanif, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the program this evening.
Maulana, jazakallah for having me.
I just want to firstly ask you and the family from us, just that there has been a few mayyats in the interim, and that is why there was a small delay, but nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this program happen.
No problem, Maulana. Jazakallah so much for having us. It's a pleasure.
Really, it's a responsibility of us as a community to honor those people that have served us so diligently in the last century, perhaps, that we could see. Brother Muhammad Hanif, coming back to you with regards to your father, as always, we ask in the beginning, give us some brief family history with regards to Maulana Faisal.
My father comes from a lineage from they started off in India. My great grandfather's name was Ahmed Tikli.
Yes.
He had a few sons. I'll just name them. First one was Abdul Hamid Tikli.
Right.
Then he had Ibrahim Tikli. Most of South Africa would know him because he was one of the first Qaris, Qari Ibrahim Tikli.
Right.
He was from Roshni and he moved to Medina and settled down in Medina. Right. Then there was my grandfather, also Muhammad Hanif Tikli.
Right.
And then there was another one, Yusuf Tikli and Ismail Tikli.
Right.
Now, they come from a family with good Islamic background, because most of my uncles, my grand-uncles, they studied in Dabel.
Okay.
Qari Ibrahim Tikli became Alim in Dabel, yeah? My grandfather, Muhammad Hanif Tikli and Abdul Hamid Tikli, they also became Hafid in Dabel. And then they moved to South Africa. So that's my father's grand-uncles. My grandfather's name is Muhammad Hanif Tikli. He had six sons, starting off with Ahmed Tikli, marhum. I've got a second uncle of Farid Tikli. He's in Petersburg.
Right.
Then it was marhum Hussein Tikli. He passed away when he was 18 years old.
Okay.
It was my father. He was the fourth son. Then after him came Ajmal Tikli. He's still alive. And then came my auntie, only auntie, Sajia Tikli. She's in Petersburg. And my they had a young toddler that passed away. His name was Dawood. That's basically my father's siblings. And then his family as such, he got married to my mother in 1982. And I'm the eldest of my father's children.
Right.
We're made up of two brothers and one sister. I was born in 83. My sister's born in 84 and my brother in 85. So, and with that, I'm married, so I got a daughter. I got a wife. So my father has one daughter-in-law and one son-in-law.
MashaAllah.
And he's got six grandchildren, five girls and one boy. So shukar, it's not a big family, not a very big family, but not small either.
Ji. Habibab, in terms of, I just want to ask you one question about your uncle or your grandfather before. Most of your family were qualified in Dabel.
Ji. My grand uncle Qari Ibrahim Tikli, he became Qari Sab and he became an Alim in Dabel. Then my grandfather Muhammad Hanif Tikli and my other great grand uncles, they did his in Dabel.
Okay, mashallah.
So shukr, they've got a good Islamic background. That's where they come from.
Yes, mashallah. And tell me with regards to your father Maulana Faisal, where did he do his initial education, Aviza?
His initial education, he started off in Petersburg. That's where he grew up. His primary school is in Petersburg. And then at a certain age, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib of Jamia Al-Arabiya in Karachi.
Right.
He came one day to Petersburg and he met my grandfather. They were actually friends from Dabel.
Okay.
So he told my grandfather, you know, Maulana, not Maulana, Hafizat, you have to give me one of your children in the path of Allah.
Okay.
So my grandfather thought about it and he decided, and eventually shukr, he chose my father.
Subhanallah.
So from there, that's when my father went out. So my father fell in the later stages of his primary school when he moved to Rustenburg. When he moved to Rustenburg, he started his hiz under Qari Ismail Bulbulia.
Okay.
So he spent 2 years there.
Okay.
And from there, he did 2 years of hiz. He didn't complete. And after 2 years, he decided no, he wants to go to Jamia Al-Arabiya in Karachi.
Right.
So he was still young. He didn't complete his secondary schooling.
Okay.
But his heart was set out already for Islamic studies. That's his primary education. So after that, he went to Karachi to do his alim course. But first he had to do his hifz again. He had to complete his hifz.
Right.
He spent a period of 10 years in Jamia Al-Arabiya. And like we said, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib was the principal. And from there, my father did his. He did Qiraat course. He qualified as a Qari in Sabah Qari. And he did his alim course as well. And from there, he came back to South Africa. And in South Africa, he did a couple of small courses. He did year at Rao University. He got a honors in Islamic studies.
Right.
He's been at Jamia in Azhar University, Jamia Al-Azhar. He spent 4 months there in his higher study in Islamic studies. So, shukr, he spent a lot of his time studying the path of Allah.
Habibab, his studies in Azhar, was it Qiraat studies more predominantly, or was he just studying generally?
It was a general overview of Islamic studies.
Okay.
But there was more focus on Qiraat, because I remember when he came back, he told me that he read live on Cairo TV. And they asked the students that could read Qiraat, they made him read, and he was one of them that was chosen to read live on Cairo TV. So shukr, that was his whole passion in his whole life. Like after he passed away also, what I've noticed and what I've learned from people is the place he's impacted the community most is with Quran, and that was his passion.
Subhanallah. I have a message from one of the colleagues that was a great Qurra of our time, Sheikh Ahmed Naina. He also acknowledged your father's recitation quite a bit, mashallah.
Gee, no, he did. I remember, the beautiful thing, Maulana, about having a father who loves Quran is that when I was small, I remember growing up in a house where after Maghrib and Isha, it was like we used to off the lights and just listen to Quran. That's what my father taught me.
Subhanallah.
So when Qari Ahmed Naina came to South Africa the first time, it was like over the moon for us. And I remember going with my father to the recitations, and my father, as we would put it, cheer him on as he's reading. And Qari Naina actually gave notification to my father while he was reading that I see you in the crowd, carry on.
Subhanallah.
So shukr, it was very nice. And from there, that's where I read also publicly with Qari Naina, also because of my father. I think it was Qari Naina's second trip or third trip.
Right.
In Omar Farooq Masjid. Where I was invited to read before Qari Naina reads. So shukr, all this comes from my father and his love for Quran.
Subhanallah. We're speaking and we're profiling this evening Mawlana Faisal Tikri Rahmatullahi Alayh. Mawlana was a imam also. We're going to hear a lot of that aspect of the life of Mawlana as well. Many of the people knew Mawlana as well. And if you would like to add to today's program, you can do so. You can WhatsApp me on the number 071-878-9748. And we are profiling and we're discussing the life of Mawlana Faisal Tikri. And we have Mawlana's son on the line, Hafiz Muhammad Hanif. And amazingly, Hafiz Muhammad Hanif has the name of his grandfather. And his grandfather was the first Qari of South Africa. Am I right, Hafiz?
No, not my grandfather. It was my great-grand-uncle.
Your great-grandfather.
Your great-grand-uncle, yeah. He was one of the first.
One of the first Qari of our country was your great-grandfather.
Great-grand-uncle.
Okay, great-grand-uncle.
Yes,
so that great-grand-uncle. I wrote that wrong. So after your father qualified and graduated from Egypt, and then he came back after spending a few months, where did he then settle and where did he then start his formal serving the Ummah?
See Mawlana, the one in Cairo that he did while he was married and while we were born, so that came later on in his life. He started his life immediately after he finished in Jamia Al-Arabiya. That was in the years of maybe, I'll tell you now, 1970, about that's when he came back to South Africa.
Okay.
When he came back, he went immediately back to Rustenburg because of his love for Qari Ismail Bulbulia.
Oh.
So he started there, he taught in the maktab, and he made a bit of imamat for a year and a half. And from there, he decided, no, he's going back home to Petersburg.
Okay.
So Shukr, he went back to Petersburg. Also, he spent a couple of years there, he spent 2 years doing the same thing. More maktab and a little bit of imamat, not too much on that side. And the major part of his life started when he decided to leave from there and come to Johannesburg area.
Okay.
So that was in the year of 82, just after he got married to my mother. He came to Roshni, that's where he started off. So in 82 he moved to Vereeniging, and he made imamat in Roshni Masjid, and he taught in the Vatma Maktab. So it was
in 1980. Would that be in Roshni or would that be in Vereeniging?
Roshni, man.
Okay, this was in Roshni.
Yeah, Roshni. The Vereeniging Masjid, when I refer to Vereeniging, I actually mean Roshni.
Roshni,
man.
Okay. So he was there from the year 1982.
Gee, from 82 he was there.
He was there. Okay.
So he spent about 2 years there, and then he went 1 year to teach in Darul Uloom Zadwan.
Okay.
He spent about a year and a half. I can remember those days just from when my memory actually starts. He spent about a year and a half in Darul Uloom Zadwan. He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was teaching Urdu to the first year students. That was what subject he was teaching.
Okay.
Then after a year and a half, he came back to Roshni. And when he came back to Roshni, he didn't do maktab, or he did maktab for a little while, but he didn't do imamat. And that's when he found a job in LMA. So he started traveling from Roshni to Lens every day doing LMA work. So he spent a couple of years, close to about 6-7 years in LMA.
Okay.
And then he decided to move to Dakshina when my grandmother moved over to Roshni.
Right, right.
So we gave her the house in Roshni, and we moved to Dakshina. And that's when my father started making imamat again. So he went to Dakshina. He made imamat there for 2 years. He didn't do maktab because he was doing LMA. And then he started with the LMS school.
Before we get to the LMS school, we have a call on the line. Maulana Ridwan Rabat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself, Maulana Hafiz Hanif, and all the listeners of radio.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah for calling, Maulana. Your input tonight's program, Maulana Ridwan?
Maulana, unfortunately and sadly, I got to know Maulana Tikli in the very last few years of his life. But my father-in-law and Maulana are cousins, and they enjoyed a very close relationship. And I've taken down some points for him to contribute to the program. One or two points, as Hafizab already alluded, he had great and deep love for Quran Karim. My father-in-law mentioned to me that in his own presence, and he was eyewitness to this, that in the month of Ramadan, he would recite minimum 5 to 6 paras of Quran in Tahajjud Salah.
Subhanallah.
This was his practice during the month of Ramadan, and even out of the month of Ramadan. We're not sure as to how much Quran he used to recite in Tahajjud out of Ramadan, but in Ramadan we know this much, that minimum 5 to 6 paras every night.
Subhanallah.
This was his deep love for Quran Karim. And also when Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi visited South Africa, at that time one of Maulana's ustads were also present. And he spent all those days making the khidmat of his ustad and ensuring that his ustad was comfortable.
Allahu Akbar.
This was how particular he was when it came to the aspect of serving his ustad. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, I met with Maulana's brother from Petersburg, and I asked him, you know, I said, just summarize your brother's life for me in one sentence. How would you describe your brother as an alim? Uncle Farid Tikli mentioned this to me. He said, Maulana, if I can summarize my brother's life, then here's it. He was a man who feared Allah, and he was a man who loved Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
He said, this was my brother's life. He loved Allah, and he feared Allah. To such an extent, he was so particular that it was not commonly known, perhaps when he was much younger, but as Maulana grew senior, you know, he never used to speak much, And when there were a lot of people, he opted to remain silent. And one day his brother asked him, he said, you know, you're an alim and everybody is speaking and you're quiet. He said, as an alim, I have the potential to take people to Jannah, but equally by saying the wrong thing, I don't want to be a means of somebody else's Jahannam.
Lord.
So I rather remain silent. You know, he was so particular, and this shows his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, in the last few years, even in Maulana's illness, you know, he was always speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever heard him complain. You know, there were days where we seen him and he was quite sick, you know, in a very weak state. But always making shukr, being positive, saying positive things. Another thing, whenever you spoke to Maulana, he always, you know, expressed his desire and his intention to visit the Mubarak lands of Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. You know, his son Hafizab will allude to this and he can explain it in more detail. And I remember from the meeting that I had with Maulana, he would always speak about how when he recovers and he is in the position, the first places he would like to visit would be Makkah Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara. This was his affiliation and his attachment and his love to the Mubarak land and the Mubarak cities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Maulana, jazakallah so much for your time this evening.
Jazakallah, Maulana. And it is one more point, and I found this very striking, and it is a lesson, although it's not directly linked to Maulana, but rather with Maulana's honorable wife, Apa. And if you give me permission, I would like to...
Sure, Maulana. On air.
You know, Maulana had in his lifetime expressed his desire to be buried in Roshni. And when the news had reached that Maulana had passed away and Mashwara was being made, and it was decided that Maulana will, his janaza will be kept in Roshni, and Maulana is obviously not a resident of Roshni, and Apa, and I find this to be very significant, especially in this day and age, we have become very lax in this regard. Immediately when she was advised by a mufti that you are in iddat and it is not correct for you to leave your home, she didn't even attend the or go to the home of where her husband, Marhum Maulana's janaza was going to leave out of respect for her iddat.
Allahu Akbar.
And I think this is very unique and it serves as a great lesson for our mothers and sisters that, you know, here's somebody who's living in our age who has made that sacrifice, honored and respected her iddat. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her and the family.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala accept the sacrifice.
Jazakallah so much. We have two messages coming. Maulana Faisal was my ustad, mentor and friend. One of the most remarkable ustad taught me about deen and the value of being good to people. Maulana would give his students the broadest smile and the most beneficial advice from his student Sabiha Muhammad. Another one coming in, Assalamu Alaikum. I was a student of late Maulana Faisal Tikli. He taught us Arabic in LMS. What we loved of Maulana the most was that when he read Quran in the assembly, it was always a good start to the day. He was a very jovial and easygoing teacher. But if you made him upset, you were in big trouble. But only the boys and not the girls. May Allah grant him the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Getting on with Hafizab. Hafizab, we're coming back to you. And we're coming to that point of your father coming to LMS now.
Jima.
I think that is an important, you may carry on.
Jima. When we moved to Land South, and my father started making imamat in Land South.
Okay.
And we spent about a year and a half or two in Land South when my father made imamat, and he started with LMA, and then he started with the LMS school as well. He initially started off with a primary school, and he spent a couple of years there. And when I moved to, when we moved to Lands in 1994, that's when he was finishing off in the primary school, and when I went to high school in 95, that's when he came to the high school as well. And his passion, like I said, was Quran, and Arabic was his passion. So he became the Arabic teacher for most of the students, and Quran teacher he used to do in primary school. And as far as we can remember, most of us can remember, His teaching of Arabic was something that made an impact on our lives. My brother, Hafiz Fahir, was talking to me the other day, and he was actually complaining to me. He says, your father put in so much of effort that when we finished high school, myself and a few of us that did Arabic as a sixth subject, we wouldn't say we were fluent in Arabic, but we were versed in Arabic where we could have a conversation. And that's the effort that he put. If you know Maulana Bilal Vaid.
Ji, he's a good sati of mine, mashallah.
Sati of yours and a good friend of mine as well.
Okay,
we were in
mashallah.
Class together. And he was a good student of my father's. And he was telling me the other day, we were sitting and talking in the car, and he told me that the impact that my father had on his life with regards to teaching him Arabic is immense. It's gone to the effect such that Maulana only talks to his sons at home in Arabic. That's only one of the instances, Maulana. But if I had to tell you about other instances in schooling life, you know, you go to school and you find youngsters that are difficult to deal with from time to time. But my father's gift was that he had a way with each type of student. So whether you were if you were rebellious, he had a specific way with you. If you were totally obedient, he had a different way with you. That was his beauty. And I'm sure if you ask some of his students, when you speak to them, they'll tell you that Maulana used to give us a famous two-gun Charlie, like out of joking with his students, he used to tap them on the face and say, that's for you. So he made an impact on a lot of people's lives. In schooling terms, Maulana.
We're listening and we're discussing this evening the life of Hazrat Maulana Faisal Tikli Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. And we have with us his son, Hafiz Muhammad Hanif. And if you have, we would like to make any contribution to the program, the number is 071-878-9748. Or you could give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. Maulana grew up, Maulana was married in the year 1982. Maulana's got two sons and one daughter. Maulana started his life in terms of initial stages in Petersburg in the primary school. And thereafter, Mufti Yusuf bin Nuri, rahimahullah, when he came to Petersburg, he told Maulana's father that, you have to give me one of your sons for deen. And that is when Maulana opted for Maulana Faisal Sahib Tikli, rahmatullahi alayh. Maulana thereafter spent 10 years in Karachi, where he studied the Alim Fadil course, he studied the Qiraat course, and also when Maulana came back, he studied at Rao, as well as at the Azhar University, Jamiatul Azhar. Maulana also read on the Cairo TV as well, and he was acknowledged by some of the great Qurra. In 1970, when Maulana came back, Maulana began in Rustenburg. 2 years Maulana taught in the Maktab in Petersburg as well. Maulana made imamat in Roshni as well. Maulana thereafter also made imamat in Dexina. There's one other thing that I wanted to ask you, Avizab, while we are here on the imamat. Maulana also made the imamat in Nurul Islam. Am I correct?
100%. Well, I was coming to that point.
Okay, sorry.
We moved from Lens South to Lanesia.
Okay.
And the first few years in Lens, my father didn't make imamat. He was only LMS and LMA.
Right.
And then when Maulana Imran Nabi left for Australia, then my father was approached to make imamat in Nurul Islam. And Shukar, he accepted, and that's when he left LMA. So his two main teaching posts were the LMS school, and then he was making imamat at Nurul Islam. And Shukar, that was when I can remember clearly, you know, his imamat. And the amazing part is that in my father's earlier lives, he was not an orator. He never used to speak from the minbar too often. But moving to Dexina and to Nurul Islam, the strange thing for me is that I didn't know my father could give bayans the way he could.
Allah.
You ask some of the older uncles in the masjids of Nurul Islam and in Indonesia South, when they see me till today, they say, we miss your father's lectures. He just had a different way when he used to give lectures. And I think that's when he became complete as a whole, because his Qiraat was there. Everybody knew him for Qiraat and his love for Quran. His teaching was there. The way he interacted with students was there. But he was never a public speaker until he came to Nurul Islam. And Shukar, it made an impact on our lives and the lives of the community of Nurul
Islam. Before we carry on, we have a call on line. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. I think Brother Muhammad, if you could please call us back. Harisab, you may carry on.
Yes, so that's when I learned a bit more about my father, that he was an orator as well as a qari. And the one thing that sticks out for me was at Nurul Islam, Ramadan time, I used to remember clearly, he would sit in the masjid after asr time, and it was an open halqa for Quran, and you used to find young children there with him, and old uncles and people of middle age and people of all different types of age coming to listen, coming to read Quran with him. And the amazing part is that when he taught Quran, he had a special gift. That somebody was asking me the other day, what do you remember about your father? And I said, more than my father, I remember him as my teacher.
Subhanallah.
When I was in Maktab, I was in grade 2 or grade 3, and I left, and then I went over to my father to start my hifz and teaching Quran. And I promise you, there were some nights where I would want to cry because of the way he taught me Quran. He used to take out my tajweed mistakes, right? And he would make me repeat and repeat, like you repeat a word over 25, 26 times.
Allah.
And at that stage in time, you know, you're young, you want to cry and you want to give up. But now later on in life, when I read Quran and I can read tajweed with my Quran and read clearly and beautifully, I think about all the sawab that goes towards him and how many other people that have learned Quran from him and to read tajweed correctly from him, and the effort that he put in that and how it's changed our lives, that to make the community as a whole better in terms of Quran.
Most definitely, and I think there is something that is very, very famous. One of my friends, and Maulana Bilal, sends me a message. He said Maulana was also very fond of Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kishk, who was a khatib from Cairo. He would quote him often in his Jummah bayans.
True.
In terms of your father's connection with Medina Munawwara, you made mention there was always a, before we carry on, there's a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, very well. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. I just got a request.
Sure.
Hafiz, and if it's possible, if he's got a recording of our Hazrat Maulana.
Inshallah, Hafiz, here's a recording.
Yes.
And we're playing it tonight, inshallah.
Jazallah Pak reward you.
Ameen. Jazakallah.
I just want to say Maulana was our teacher in Roshni as well.
Okay.
He taught us a lot. We learned a lot. And we really miss him a hell of a lot.
No, some special.
And he was not. He was more like a friend to all of us.
Definitely. Allah give us a good replacement, inshallah.
Yeah?
Allah give us a good replacement, inshallah.
Inshallah. Every Friday night, all friends used to get together at a different friend's house.
Okay.
And we used to talk of Quran and Hadith. Any question, anything. No age restriction, nothing. Any question we had to ask, we could ask him on a Friday night, and we should talk and chat and have a meal together, you know, 10, 15, 20 friends together. Enjoyed it, alhamdulillah, Maulana.
Jazakallah so much for the call.
Priya, you are a very approachable alim as well.
Jazakallah so much.
Amin. Assalamu alaikum.
Do you have the recording available?
I've got it. Yeah. Give me a few minutes. I'll just put it on my phone and I can play it for you.
Okay, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So, Hafiz, I'm carrying on while you're getting the recording ready.
You see, what as the previous caller mentioned, you know, what I remember now about my younger days in Roshni is that my father used to teach in the maktab.
Okay.
And I remember Friday nights and Saturday nights, not all Friday nights and Saturday nights, he used to take all the youngsters out to go play squash from time to time.
Okay.
He must have been maybe at that time 34, 35, 36. And these were youngsters in madrasa, say about 16 and 17. But he used to do it quite often with them in a way that he kept them with him. He kept them occupied. And he could also talk to them, understand where they are in life, help them wherever they were. And they became his friends as much as they were their teachers. And like the previous caller mentioned, a lot of the time, instead of just being a teacher, he became a friend to everybody.
Subhanallah. In terms of his spirituality, Avizar, he had a little bit of link, I made to understand, with Maulana Lutfullah Abbasi.
Gee, he was a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf, Maulana Lutfullah Abbasi. He was a Khalifa, but he didn't practice too much with too many people at the time. I remember at home he was quite strict with us.
Okay.
He gave us wazayif to read on Thursdays. And like that also, his life as such, Maulana, he was never too strict and never too laid back as well. He always chose a moderate path in whatever he did.
Okay, mashallah.
He never tried to force us to do zikr all the time or only read Quran all the time. I remember me growing up with my father, there was a time for soccer. I played soccer with him. I played cricket with him at home. But there was a time also where I used to read Quran with him, and he used to have tars with us at home. So the beauty of my father is he was a very well-balanced person.
Subhanallah. And I think that somewhat is lacking amongst people like us, where we aren't able to strike the balance where it is required. Tell me, we've discussed quite a few topics. We've discussed regarding his family lineage. We've discussed regarding his talim, some of the services that were done prior to that. You've also made mention with regards to some of the ways that he would interact with the family. I want to just, before we actually play the clip, ask you, what were some of the outstanding qualities that he had that a listener would be able to take some sort of inspiration from?
If I have to mention my father, he, a lot of people remember him as a compassionate person, as a generous person. But with that, he had a balance. Like I mentioned, he had a balance.
Yeah.
So if he was compassionate, he was steadfast also. So if there were items in his life where he believed firmly on, he was steadfast. And that's one thing I've learned from him. Although he was giving, there's certain points in his life where he was strict and he said, no, this is how Islam is and this is how your deen is and will not change. No matter who you are, no matter whatever the situation. So the law of Allah always comes first. That's how he was. And he was kind. He always interacted with people at the level that they were. So if he was talking to small children, he'd be playful with them. If he was with the older people, he'd be respectful. If he was with the youngsters, he'd be as a friend. So those are just a few qualities that he had. He was stern, loving, kind, compassionate. So he just had a passion in everything that he did. You know, we were sitting the other day at home and just looking at the house that now that he's gone. He was meticulous, if I had to describe him. In anything that he did, he wanted to do it properly the first time.
Tell me, while we are at this point, would it be possible for you to play as the clip?
Give me a second, Mona.
Sure.
Putting it on my phone, I wanted to get one.
Not a problem. We are discussing the life of Hazrat Mawlana Faisal Tiqli. We have on the line his son, Hafiz Muhammad Hanif, that is joining us. If you had any interaction with Mawlana, or if you knew Mawlana, then you could please give us a call, or alternatively send us a WhatsApp. The number is 071-878-9748. You could send us a WhatsApp message, and inshallah, we would read it on air. Alternatively, share the students, perhaps, if you studied under Mawlana, or if you knew Mawlana, give us a call on the number 011-854-1548, and inshallah, we could share your experiences with the listeners this evening on Radio Islam International. Arizab, you ready for us? We're waiting for Hafiz Muhammad Hanif, and inshallah, we will be playing you a clip now that was taken from cassette. Hafiz Muhammad Hanif, the son, was kind enough to take a cassette from the archive that he had with his father's reading, Mawlana Faisal, and we will be playing it, inshallah, for you live on air. It's sometimes, you know, where you just wish you met a person, or you interacted with a person, or you were able to just learn one thing from these great people. And I always make dua that, oh Allah, let me meet as many ulama of our country and of this world as we possibly can. Because each one is an ocean of knowledge and experience. And if we can just take a few sips from each one's life, we would be able to complete our life. And we would be able to bring such goodness in our life that really we won't be able to fathom in the life of our seniors and in the life of the ulama-i kiram that we discuss, inshallah. And you know, one outstanding quality of Mawlana and one amazing achievement is the love that Mawlana would have for Quran and how he would instill Quran in the life of his students. I mean, reading Quran in the morning in the assembly, teaching the son Quran in the afternoon, in the evenings at home, sitting with the halqas of Quran within the month of Ramadan, the old, the young, everybody coming and listening to Mawlana and correcting their Quran. It's such a great blessing that we all need to take lesson from. Another message coming in, Assalamu alaikum. Mawlana was a wonderful ustad. The year Mawlana took me in LMA Madrasa, it was the best year. I look forward to going to Madrasa. Mawlana gave us sterling advice. And most definitely, Mawlana instilled the love of Quran in all our hearts. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Hafiz Muhammad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm ready, Mona.
Ji. We're going to be listening now to a recording that was converted from cassette to CD, and it will be played for us, inshallah, just to bring back the memories and appreciate the individual and let the nostalgia sink in and just appreciate the services of one of the great scholars of our country.
Can I play, Mona?
Ji, please. Have you just want to put it a bit closer to the phone? What we're going to do, inshallah, we're going to try and get the recording from you. Perhaps we can just clear it up a little bit. And inshallah, we will also be playing it one of the days on radio as well.
No problem,
I think just because of the phone and the line, it wasn't very clear.
I've got people from Roshni will remember it. At Maghrib time, he used to give azan. And it was something similar to Medina. I don't know if they'll remember it or not. That's something that I have. Maybe if you want, I can put for you now.
Yeah, let's play it, inshallah, Visar.
It's azan that he used to resemble the Medina azan.
Let's play the azan, inshallah.
Please, for you. Let's see, inshallah.
You can play it, Visar. Welcome back. You're with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, and here with me, Hafiz Muhammad Hanif Tikli. We're going to be listening now to the adhan of Mauna Faisal Tikli, which obviously would resemble, as you would hear, inshallah, the adhan of Medina Munawwara. Hafiz Saab, you want to play the adhan for us?
Still talking to the engineer. It's also not coming out quite clear.
Okay, not a problem. What we'll do, we'll try and get it, and we'll try and just clean it up, and one of the days, inshallah, on one of the ulama profiles, we'll play it on, inshallah.
Gee, 100%. I'll do that.
Hafiz Saab, sorry for that. Hafiz, I've been just turning to coming to the closure of the program. We have a few minutes. You want to just take us through your father's illness and obviously his exit from this temporary life into the permanent life in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, in about the year 2007, that's when my father got like totally ill, and he actually stopped working at the LMS school. But a year before that, he got sick and he spent half year teaching and half year not teaching. So during his period of sickness from 2007, if I have to tell you, he's had TB, he's had stents in his heart, he's had a whole lot of complications, and eventually he had kidney failure for the last 7 years of his life.
Okay.
Which made it quite difficult for him because he was a young, strong man, and even when he was in his 40s, he was still strong and he liked doing things himself. So it became a bit difficult for him, but shukr like that, he accepted it from Allah, and he was happy with the condition, and he never complained. There were days where I would be amazed that he just remained calm and peaceful, and he never made a fuss about his illness. And what people told us about kidney failure, people on kidney failure, is that they get tired and they get lethargic and they get temperamental also from time to time. So there were a few signs of that. But if he ever got upset, within a few minutes later, he would apologize. So shukr, he always was aware of his senses during his illness. In the later past, last few years, last 3-4 years, he became bedridden, more to say. He couldn't walk. He was on a wheelchair most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he needed help at home, so it was either myself or my brother helping him out. But like I said, well, he didn't complain too much. He was a fighter, if I had to say, in the right words. He always told me that his friends, Mawlana Abdul Quddus, then there was Mawlana Ma'ruf from
Sri Lanka.
A few of his friends had a kidney failure, and they passed away within a couple of years, and he managed to do 6 years on dialysis. So in the end, he said, no, my time is up. Inshallah, Allah is ready to take me. And he was at ease when he went.
When your father passed away?
He passed away, if I'm not mistaken, on the 30th of January, a Saturday. And I can even remember clearly that week he wasn't feeling well.
That's right.
I went to him. And like I always do when he's not well, I ask him, can I take you to the hospital? And he told me, no, how many times are you going to take me to the hospital? That time Allah is calling me.
Allahu Akbar.
And I'm going to go. So I said, no, man, you tell me that every time when you're sick. So he says, no, bhai, listen, Allah is going to take me away and I don't want to pass away in a hospital.
Allahu Akbar.
So I saw to him that week. And the strange thing is he wasn't bedridden. So it was a bit of a shock to us that the Saturday when we sent him for dialysis in the morning, he went onto the machine, and as we know it, 9 o'clock, we got a message from the dialysis center, and they said he passed away on the machine while doing dialysis.
Allah.
So it came as a bit of a shock to us, but even like that, Shukar, he wanted to go on his own terms, and he didn't want to pass away in a hospital bed, although he was in a dialysis center, but he spent the night at home. Yeah, he got up for Fajr, he made his tahajjud, and then he went for dialysis. So, Shukar, he suffered, he struggled, because he told me in the last 3-4 weeks of his life that he's tired, it's taking a toll on him. And more so because he was immobile last couple of years, and he felt like he was starting to burden people.
But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us as an ummah a great replacement, inshallah.
Ameen,
I must say, I feel very honored to be part of the funeral proceedings in Roshni, where I think one of his ustad, the Mufti Radaul Haq, made the janazah salah.
Yeah, 100%. It was always one of his wishes as well. Like Maulana mentioned before, that he wanted to be buried in Roshni. Ideally, he would have loved to be buried in Medina, like he told us and he told Maulana Ridwan when Maulana was here. But if that didn't happen, it was Roshni, and he always wanted Mufti Radaul Haq to make his janazah salah, and Shukar, that also came through.
Before we let you leave, Afisab, any last words that you would like to share with us regarding your honorable father?
My father was a human like any other person. He had a personality which was mostly kind in nature, but he could have hurt some people's feelings unknowingly, or even knowingly, and we asked him to make him laugh. And what I would love people to remember him for is that his love of the Quran and his love of his students was one thing that will always go through with me. Like I was telling my mother and them, I said, when my father passed away, I've learned what a legacy is. Because everybody that I've met after the funeral told me that this man's legacy is Quran. Whether it was teaching, whether it was reading, whether it was promoting, whether it was Qiraat, his legacy was Quran. So that's one thing I've taken, and is one thing I would like people to always remember him, and especially those that he's impacted their lives with Quran, they must just remember him in the du'as.
Abizab, it was a most amazing and fascinating experience as always. Jazakallah for taking out your time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. I was managed to speak to your mother also, how special your father was to her, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite each one of us in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Jazakallah khaira. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
This was the life of Hazrat Mawlana Faisal Tikli Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. On closing today, I would just like to share you one thought that always crosses my mind. You know, every time we discuss one alim, he was alive like how many of the ulama in our area are. In every area, there's an alim who needs to be appreciated. There's a scholar who we need to value. There's somebody that has something he's done in his life, and because of him, Allah's mercy is with us. visit the ta'alim, learn from the ta'alim, be in the company of the ta'alim, and see how through their company, Allah changes our inside. Allah makes us better people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us His consciousness, because it is people like these that have these unique qualities that spur other people on. They inspire their students and they make living in this world such a pleasant thing. In your difficult of times, they'll have the easiest of solutions. In your most down of times, they'll have great resources for you. And through this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite each one of us under the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the great scholars. And Allah make it such that we are able to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.